I'd like to read verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. May God bless his word to our hearts today. Let's turn, wait a minute. Lamb of God, that's right, okay. 302. 302. We'll sing all three verses.
Your only Son, you sent to high.
Father, we thank you so much for your word to our hearts today. We pray that you'll speak to each one of us and teach us something that'll be helpful to us in our daily life, and that you'll meet our needs in every way, that we might truly be encouraged and strengthened and helped. We pray to you, Heavenly Father, that our faith might be increased, that you'll enable us, that we would go forth to be good witnesses for you to everyone that we come in contact with. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us and every blessing that we have. We do pray today especially for those who are suffering. We ask you to undertake for them. We think of those around the world that are being persecuted for Christ's sake, and ask you, Lord, to just strengthen and bless each one of them and help them. If it be your will, we pray that you would deliver them from their oppressors and help them to be able to find safety, and that you would keep them in your care. We just thank you that they are willing to suffer for Christ rather than deny him. And we pray that you would help us to always be ready to stand up for you and not to fall when the time comes. We pray to you, Lord, that you would just guide and direct us. We pray for those who are sick this morning, those who are suffering in various ways. We ask you to meet their needs and to comfort them and to restore them to health. We pray for our country today, our Father, as we face elections in just two more days. We just ask you, Lord, to help in every way that we might have a peaceful election, and that everything would go well, and that those of your choice, those that would be best for our country, those that would lead us in the right direction, would be put into office so that we might be able to continue to go forward in our nation. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. Many times when we don't even agree with other people, we can still express our opinions, not be molested because of it. And we pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to just look to you and find the strength that we need and the wisdom and understanding to lead our lives in such a way that we bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, we just thank you for the church here. We thank you that we can have all these things that we need. We do pray to our Father for the congregational meeting coming up next Tuesday, not this week, but next week. We just pray that all the members will come and that we might be able to have a good meeting together and discuss what we're going to do for the future. We just thank you for the way things are working out so far and pray that you'll continue to help us to work together so that we might be able to accomplish all that you have for us to do. Bless the church, our Father, and help us to continue to go forward. And pray that you'll supply our needs and help us in every way. We just ask you to supply the funds and the everything else that is needed for the work of the church. Thank you so much for all your grace and love to us. Guide and help us now as we look into your word, that we might truly understand and follow you in the way that we should. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're looking here at the epistle to the Colossians. This is one of the prison epistles Paul wrote when he was a prisoner in Rome, along with Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. And the main theme of this book is found in verse 18 of the first chapter, speaking about the Lord Jesus. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that he might have the supremacy, that he might be number one. This is what it's all about, and Paul is writing here about this. He is the head of the church, and we look to him as our leader, as our guide, and seek to follow him in every way that we possibly can. So Paul here is writing to this congregation that meets at Colossae, which was a small city about 100 miles or so from Ephesus. Paul had been to Ephesus. He spent, I think, 3 years there teaching and reaching the whole area with the gospel. But he had never been to Colossae. But some of the people that heard him, probably, we're just guessing, but we think, in Ephesus went out to Colossae and started the church there, along with a couple of other places. There was Hierapolis and Laodicea, which were nearby. These three places, they started churches. We think it could have been this man that's mentioned in our text here today, Epaphras. He was one of the leaders in the church, and probably the one who began the work there. So this is a little background about the work here and how it got started and the work that was going on there in the time that Paul is writing to them. And he starts off with his greeting, of course. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. So, you know, Paul usually didn't write his own letters. He would dictate them and someone else would write them. So it was probably Timothy this time that wrote the words that Paul gave, and so he gives him credit here for being with him and sending his greetings to this church. Paul, he mentions himself here as an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is an official representative. He was one of the original ones on, well, not the original 12, but shortly thereafter. On the road to Damascus, Jesus called him to himself for salvation and then appointed him as an apostle, especially to the Gentiles. And here Colossae was a Gentile church, basically. And so Paul says, I am the one who is your overseer, so to speak, a messenger of Jesus Christ, sent forth with his word. By the will of God. So this is God's will. And now he is writing this letter to encourage them and to instruct them. There were some problems going on in the area. There was some false teaching that was going around. And so Paul is seeking to help them understand what they're supposed to be doing. So he gives them his greeting here. He's writing, telling them who he is. And then he mentions Timothy, who was his right-hand man, so to speak. He called him to him there in Lystra when Timothy was in just a young man in the church. Paul took him with him on his missionary journeys and then taught him everything that he needed to know so that he could be able to minister the Word of God. So Timothy here is with Paul at this time as he writes this letter to Colossae. And as I said, he's writing here in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. So the saints, of course, are those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and set apart to the Lord. Usually saints or sanctified means you're set apart. In other words, set apart unto God. These are in Christ, faithful ones. He says, faithful brethren. You know, that's brothers are one thing, but faithful brothers is something else, isn't it? Faithful unto death, faithful in everything that they do. That's a good quality. I was just thinking of something as I know in when we were in Italy, the what they usually called the believers was I fedeli, the faithful. Instead of saying, you know, well, they did use the word brethren too, but they, many times they would say the faithful ones. And that's what Paul is saying here. And he appreciated that so much. The fact that they were not only believers, but when push came to shove, they were there to help out. They were faithful in whatever they were doing. And so he's pointing that out to them, faithful ones in Christ at the city of Colossae. So it's written to a local church that were apparently were meeting in the home of this man. Paul writes another letter to. His name is Philemon. Philemon chapter 1. Well, it's only one chapter. Right before Hebrews. And verses 1 and 2, we find his greeting to Philemon. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So Philemon was a man who lived in Colossae, and he was the host for the church. He and his wife and his son were there working together, and the church met in their home. It's like as many times as happened back in that day. So he goes on here with his salutation. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. We have to have grace in order to come to Christ because we don't deserve it, do we? Grace is God's unmerited favor. And he's saying here, may God's grace be abundant toward you, in other words, continually. And peace. May you have his peace in your heart. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And the rest of this paragraph that we read here is basically talking about Paul's prayer for the church. And here he's going to be praying for them, and we see the kind of prayer that Paul would give. He gives thanks to God, first of all, for them. Thank God for this church, for its faithfulness, for the fact that they are there in a Gentile city, standing firm, strong for the Lord, not giving in to sin or ungodliness, but living righteously in the midst of all kinds of idolatry and everything else that was going on around them. They were faithful. He's giving thanks to God. That's a good way for us to start our prayers, I think. I believe I usually start my prayers that way, thanking God for all that he does, right? Because where would we be if God didn't pour out his blessings upon us? So he says, I'm praying always for you. So it was a continual prayer. He constantly had them on his mind, even though he had never met them. That's something, isn't it? You know, it's a lot easier to pray for people that you know, right? People that you see from time to time, and God brings them to your heart and you pray for them. But people that you don't know, you haven't seen. Paul had never been to Colossae, and so he did not know very many of these people, at least. He knew this, the pastor, perhaps, Epaphras, but no one else, I don't think. But he says, I'm always praying for you. So he wanted them to succeed. He wanted to see this church thrive, and he's praying for them. So he's praying, verse 4, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, see, I heard that you've come to Christ, you know him, and of the love which you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So here we have Paul's trilogy, right? He uses this a great deal. Faith, hope, and love, right? Those are the three qualities that he mentions quite often and that are so important in our lives. Faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And we walk by faith. We have to look to the Lord and trust him in the midst of whatever we're going through. Faith. That's what it takes, right? If you lose your faith in God, you lose faith in your brothers and sisters in Christ, you lose faith in your family or whoever, then you're in bad shape. You got to have faith, right? Hope. He says a heavenly hope. You know, we're looking forward. How many of you have ever been to heaven? Let me see your hands, right? We haven't been there yet, but we are hoping and we're trusting, we're believing that there is a place called heaven where God is, and that someday we're going to be there with him because our faith is in Christ. You see, it builds, doesn't it? Faith, hope, and love. Love. Love for one another. Love for God. It says here, the love which you have to all the saints. John talks about this in his epistles. He said, you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, you're a liar. That's what he says. So you have to love one another. That's what Jesus said quickly, right? The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. And you can't have one without the other. If you love God, you will love people. If you don't love people, you don't love God. That's what he says. So whoever it is that you've got in your heart that you don't love anymore, you better straighten that out, right? And because he says you need that brotherly love to all the saints. Not just the ones that, you know, you get along well with, but all of them. The ones that, you know, rub you the wrong way. Well, maybe you don't always want to be around them all the time, but you can still love them, right? Okay. I guess that's enough of that. Everybody's awful quiet. And anyway. Okay. Moving on. Oh, I was thinking about this. You know, that's that old Roy Rogers, Dale Evans song, you know, takes faith, hope, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Here we have it right here, right? Faith, hope, and love. And Paul is talking about that right here. He's rejoicing that they have received the truth of the gospel, he says. You've heard the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world and brings forth fruit. You know, it's always wonderful to hear how that the Word of God has gone into some place and people are being saved and their lives are being changed and transformed. It's always such a joy to hear that, isn't it? Wherever it might be. And I know I've just recently we heard about Uganda where they're having such a wonderful revival. People are being saved and it's just great. It makes you rejoice. Paul here is rejoicing as he heard about what was happening in Colossae and in other places as well. And it's something to bolster your life, to give you the strength that you need to go on when you hear that God is moving. He may not be moving in your life that much right now, but he is working over here and over there and over there. So maybe he'll get back to me, right? Yeah. We can always look to the Lord and trust him in the dark moments that he might eventually deliver us from whatever we might be going through. So he's rejoicing here that they are following after the truth which has come to them and is bringing forth fruit in their life. And then he mentions Epaphras, this man whom we think was probably the pastor of the church. He says, our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ. He had been with the Apostle Paul, and he speaks of him as being a fellow servant, serving the same master. He and Paul had worked together. They had been there in Rome together. He's called here a faithful minister, a servant of the Lord. Down in verse 8, it says that he has declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So he brought the message to Paul. He's the one who told him about the church. He's a fervent prayer warrior. Over in chapter 4 and verse 12, it mentions him again. Chapter 4, verse 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So here, this is, he had the church upon his heart, praying fervently for them, and he was a fellow prisoner of Paul. Back in Philemon again, just one more verse. Philemon verse 23. It says, "There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." So he also was a prisoner along with Paul. That's he had found himself there in the prison at Rome, and yet he was still fervently concerned about the church in Colossae. So we see here his humble spirit, not feeling sorry for himself, but praying fervently for the church and seeking to do God's will. So then we come to Paul's prayer. What does he say here, beginning in verse 9? It's an intercessory prayer. He says, "I do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So Paul is praying for these believers, that they might stand strong and be wise and accomplish God's will. And he was praying, he says, continually, "I do not cease to pray for you." So every time he thought of them, no doubt, he would lift up a prayer for them. And he's praying that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Walk worthy. Keep on serving God faithfully. Don't give up. Being fruitful in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. So all these things that Paul is lifting up in prayer. And he's asking God to help them to continue on. Be strengthened with all might. Have all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. This is the way to live, isn't it? To be joyful. And when you take into account all of the suffering that goes on in life, how can you be joyful? Paul says that a lot. He said it in Philippians. And so many times, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." You say, "Yes, but." Right. "What am I going to do about this?" Yeah. Well, that's the reason we have prayer. We have the opportunity to take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there, right? And to fellowship with one another and build each other up in our faith. This is what it's all about. That we might be strong. We might have the patience. Joy that we need. Giving thanks to the Father who's made us fit to be partakers of his inheritance. We're looking forward to that. Right? And it's not just a matter of psyching yourself up, you know, to think, "Oh, well, I'm going to be happy, 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 happy." No, it's not that at all. It's putting your faith in God and saying, "Hey, Lord, I know that you love me. I know that you do what's best for me. And I'm looking to you. I trust you. I believe that you're going to help me." You know? And then we work together as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ. It all works together. See? And so he says, let's work for one another rather than against each other. See? Unite your hearts together. That's what he's saying here. Giving thanks. Looking forward to that great reward he has for us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you remember when you walked in darkness? Before you knew the Lord? Darkness of sin? What it was like? Think of all of this. I just... There's so much darkness. Been noticing on the news lately this opioid drug infestation, and they show Kensington in Philadelphia. It's darkness, darkness, darkness. We don't, you know, we're sometimes I think we as Christians are in a bubble. We don't see a lot of what's all around us. And we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Isn't that great? You don't have to walk that way anymore. And have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom of light. We're out of darkness into light. We're rejoicing in what God has done for us. The kingdom of His dear Son, His beloved one. And we're looking forward to that day when we'll be in His presence. And then he closes out this part with verse 14. He says, "In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." In a few moments we'll be commemorating the death of Christ. Communion. We are redeemed through His blood. You know? I think sometimes we romanticize that somewhat. If you stop and think about it, it certainly wasn't anything very beautiful to have a person hanging on a cross, bleeding, suffering, dying. How do you get pleasure from that? And why do we remember that? Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me and what I've done for you." We are redeemed through His blood, all of His suffering and what He went through. The abuse, scorn, and all the rest, that we might be forgiven. Forgiven. There's nothing that God holds against a believer. We are forgiven. You know, think of all the sinful, wicked things that you've done in your life. If you've put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, if you have trusted in Him as your Savior, it's all gone. Washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to realize that we have redemption through His blood. That's what makes it memorable. Think that He was willing to suffer everything that He went through for us. So we see the prayer of Paul for the church of at Colossae here is a good example for us to pray for our church, I think. Pray for one another that we might be strengthened, that we might be helped, that we might walk worthy, that we might live in this 21st century faithful, like Paul is praying for this church in the first century, that we might live righteously and honor the Lord in all that we do and say, that we might know Christ really, the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto his death, as it tells us in Philippians, that we might be filled with the knowledge of his word, of his will, and his spirit, that we might all be faithful and fruitful in serving our Lord and in serving one another. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning, and we pray that you'll speak to each one of us, teach us what we need to know, help us to love each other, help us to make things right with one another if there's something that's not right. Help us to walk in fellowship with you, to do your will, to be faithful, to honor you, to magnify your name. We thank you so much for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins, that we have a home in heaven, and that we can live righteously day by day because your Spirit is guiding us. May we honor you and serve you, I pray. Forgive us, Father, wherein we fail, and lead us along the way, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.